murder. Swerving with my circus, looking for a purpose. Pseudo clean record, hope got another surface.
I did a throwback to the Slovenia days with my little skull cap here.
I know, I see that, man. I dig it. Is it cold out there?
No, my hair's just messed up, and I don't want the audience to see my messed up hair.
Yeah, because they'll care.
No, because my bald spot's showing a little bit, so I gotta.
Oh no, that's when you do the camera underneath, so it looks up versus down, which is not good for camera angles anyway. But yeah. I'm getting old, man. So let's get right into it. I know we're gonna throw down a quick one here. We just had the Ron DeSantis and Gavin Newsom. One, I can't believe that. Well, you know what? They were both bullied, not the right word. They're conned into doing this, right? I mean, it's like you have a media personality like Sean Hannity, most watched, you know, probably on late night, right, as far as news goes. And, you know, you ask him, well, hey, you're on the show, you know, would you be willing to meet your nemesis? Well, of course, hell yeah, I'll go kick his ass, right? And then you do the same thing to Gavin. Well, hell yeah, I'll go kick his ass. Well, okay, guys, now we're going to have this debate, and you guys have just agreed, like, what happened? And I think that's what we saw at the end. So for our listeners out there, I was checking my wife earlier today. I said, how long is this debate going? And she said, well, the Hill and everything else says 90 minutes. And then you asked, and I said 90 minutes. Then we went over 90 minutes, and then Sean Hannity's like, hey, you guys want to stay on? Now, this is on air. And, of course, you put him on the spot, right? Neither one of them can be like, no, I've had enough. And then all of a sudden they cut the commercial. They come back, and then Hannity's like, they both had other engagements, you know, at you know, 11 o'clock at night Eastern, right? Maybe Gavin, you know, he's got to go to his French laundry or whatever. But point being, at the end, I guarantee both of their camps came and was like, that's enough of this. We're done. So real quick, we want to hop on here, throw down a quick track, kind of give you some of our takes from it. I'll kick it over to you, Luke. I guess my first question is, how do you think Sean Hannity did as a moderator? I don't think he's moderated. He's obviously, he's got his own show. It's an editorial, right? It's his opinions. He made it very clear up front that, you know, he's a known and established conservative. So how do you think he did as a moderator and his line of questioning?
Well, I thought he did pretty well. I mean, all things considered, you know, he said from the outset, he goes, you know, he said what you said. I'm a commentator, but tonight I'm going to come with the stats. You know, I'm going to ask these questions that were provided to us and all this stuff. And I think he's stuck pretty true to that. But, you know, in the interest of objectivity, I'll say that the deck was kind of stacked against Newsom from the beginning because it is Fox News. So the stats that we're looking at were true. All of them were. We'll get into the stats a little bit later because some of those stats blew my mind, you know, coming out of Newsom's mouth. But Newsom was at a disadvantage, but I thought Sean Hannity did a pretty good job. It kind of got out of control there for a little while, like maybe 15, from like 4 to like 30 minutes in. It was kind of back and forth, and Sean Hannity kept saying the same thing. But I think he got it under control. I think when they go into breaks, you know, everybody's given a reality check. You know, there's producers and production there. It's like, hey, look, no one's doing themselves any favors here. You guys need to chill. And I thought it was a pretty good job, even though it is Fox News. I get it. The deck is stacked against Newsom, but man, this was just a win for everyone all around. I think I'm going a little far afield, but it was a win for DeSantis because he gets more exposure. A lot of people are watching that tonight. It's a win for Newsom because, well, no matter what he says, people on the Democrat side, well, it's kind of a win for Newsom. But no matter what he said, people on the Dem side are going to be like, yeah, I like this guy. You know, these stats he's throwing out seem to jive with my worldview. So he raised his profile a little bit. He's not afraid to go and debate. And it was a win for Fox because I guarantee they got a lot of viewership tonight out of California. Those Newsom fans, they're tuning into Fox tonight and they're all, you know, Twittering their people and man, Newsom kicked his ass and all this stuff. So I think it was a win all around. I was just telling my wife, I was like, and you know, when they said they were going to go over, and I was like, man, that's gangster. They're going to go over, man. They're calling it on the fly. I told my wife, I was like, I think that the American people are winning here, because we can disagree on stuff, but man, two opposite states, you know, you couldn't get more, well, you probably could get more opposite than Florida and California, like Mississippi and California, but Florida and California, man, two governors going head to head. I know there's that presidential aspect to it, but I think there needs to be more of this, man. I think it's good. I think it's cool. Go head to head, man. Let's see what these people are all about. Let's see what's better. You know, the states, you know, talking to each other. I think that's good. So I think that to answer your question, I think that Sean Hannity did well. I'm not a huge Sean Hannity fan. Sure. So for me to say that, I think he did pretty well as a moderator. I think that's a testament to his professionalism. So I'll kick it back to you with, I guess, what are your initial takes on how it went as a whole? Like, was it a good format? Did both sides get their jabs in? Could it have been better? What would you have done differently? What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I mean, considering that this, you know, it wasn't as formal as what you would see like your presidential debates. Well, first of all, I applaud both of them. I mean, there are obviously some clear motivations to be there, right? Obviously, you mentioned them with Fox News, Ron DeSantis actually getting to look presidential one-on-one debate style. Gavin Newsom, you know, you start looking at what his and it became, I think I said about three quarters right there. I'm like, I see his motivation now. Like, one, the administration and the Dems put him out there, right? I said, you're going to go out there and you're going to, you know, you're going to tout the administration and our successes. And then you're also going to set yourself up for 2028. And his job was to not only discredit Ron DeSantis from 2024, also for 2028, because Gavin's not a dumb dude. Okay. This is a guy who was the mayor of San Francisco, now the governor of California, and then is, you know, going to run for president. And so he's looking strategically down the road. Like, I need to do what I can now to go ahead and start throwing some arrows downrange, because in 2028, I'm going to be running against this guy, right? But I actually like the format. There was a little bit of mudslinging there, but I think it was pretty good because, one, I like the stats, okay? There was, and granted, you know, it's Fox News and you said all that good stuff, you know, so there's always going to be a conservative slant. But stats, I won't say they don't lie, because you can interpret them. It's per capita versus whole number, those type of things. But generally speaking, Fox did a pretty good job of like, hey, man, here are the statistics. Even a couple of times, like, hey, this is like from the Census Bureau, dude, or this is from the FBI. Like, I don't know what to tell you, right? But they did a good job up there of throwing up the stats, which I liked, and then making the candidates defend them. And I think Ron knew going in that he knew that the majority of the stats, and I did my own fact checking before I even came into this, majority of stats were going to support him and what he's done in Florida. So, you know, you kind of come in as the kid that already has the answers to the test. Gavin comes in knowing that most of the stats aren't going to support his policies and his performance. So, you know, he kind of comes in as the underdog, like, okay, how am I going to defend this? So I liked a little bit of the mudslinging, and I'll let you get into some of the stuff that Gavin was throwing out there. Because it does allow for the unscripted comments, data, thought processes. It allows for that to be thrown out. And if you aren't just covering wave tops, like a lot of the 30-minute shows, one-hour shows going to cover, those who actually get into this stuff, you know, on the Wall Street Journal and Politico and National Review, they'll go in and start picking this stuff apart. This is what he said. These are the facts that he's quoting. And I think when you see that, you start to see you know, kind of like you said, you see their mindset, right? This is what this guy truly believes. And I think at the end, I don't know if I'm looking too much into this, but I think at the end, Gavin kind of knows how he did. And I think, you know, like in your mind, like the next day when you went to your buddy's house and you drank way too much, and the next day you're like, man, yeah, I shouldn't have said that. Or man, did I say this? And I believe at that last commercial break, Gavin kind of had that, man, I kind of threw out a lot of stuff. So how did he close? You know, Ron obviously loves his country as much as I do. We just have different ways about it. You know, beautiful wife, great kids. You know, I applaud his military. You know, it's almost like, I may have said a couple things here that are going to get fact-checked the next day. But at the end of the day, I actually like the format. The mudslinging, I think it went right to the edge of where I would not have wanted it to go any farther. But I do think that both of them threw out some info on there and data points that you can pick apart and say, hey, here's what they're looking at. Here's where they lied. And I won't call it lying. I'll let you call it lying. So I know you want to start with some, well, let me put it this way. Before we get into all the nuts and bolts of it, before the debate started, what were your expectations from Ron DeSantis and Gavin Newsom? Like, how did you think they were going to perform before you saw it?
Well, I know how you feel, so I'm going to probably send it right back to you on this one. Honestly, I thought Ron would be a little cringe, right? And the way it started off, he was cringed. Yep. I was like, Ron, yep. What are you doing? It's just, you know, somebody posted on Twitter a meme of, an off-screen thing with a camera on Ron DeSantis, and he's doing his weird mouth thing, and he's like smiling and then biting his lip. And the meme said, AI can almost generate human reactions. It's not quite there yet. And it's like, yes, he was so awkward at first. And that's what I was expecting. But as it went on, his voice was cracking. Y'all can go back and watch it. He was cracking. He was nervous. I've been there. We've all been there. Speaking in front of a bunch of people. I did it yesterday. Maybe it was today. I don't know. Speaking in front of a bunch of people, I was a little bit nervous starting out. I could hear my own voice kind of quivering a little bit. And then as I got, it's like, no, dude, I know what I'm talking about. I'm confident. And then I settled into it as he did. I did not expect that. I kind of expected him to be cringe the whole time. But I think he really got comfortable because I think he was comfortable with his material. With Newsom, I guess I was expecting more. I was expecting more. And I'll kick it back to you on that because I think you're going to encapsulate better than I will. I think it went with Ron. He performed better than I thought he would. And before I kick it back to you, I got to get this out there because I'll forget it. A couple of things. We were saying the whole time, when is he going to drop the cleaning up San Francisco for Sheinbaum? And the way he dropped that toward the end was great. And Rodney was texting about that. And it's like, man, that was great. It's perfect timing. It was, you know, build up the tension. Cause we all were like, Ron, if you don't do this, you know, whatever. So I was glad that happened. I got to throw that out there right now. So, and another thing I'll throw out before I kick it back to you with the Newsom's performance and DeSantis is the amount of bootlicking that DeSantis was doing for the Biden administration was transparently disgusting. That's Madam Vice President to you. You pronounced your name wrong. Dude, come on. Dude, really? I mean, that, like I said to you about an semi-related topic, the average person in America, like Josh said, is stupid. Yes, but I think stuff like that, the average stupid person can see through it. I mean, you are bootlicking, and you're absolutely right. He was sent up there to not bash the administration anyway. It's like, yep, this is your 2028, you know? But anyway, so I'll throw the same question back to you, your expectations of both, and did it live up or not?
So very close to what you said, and I took notes before I went. So I thought Gavin Newsom would be very articulate. I thought it'd be very smooth. Just on the surface, you know, he's got the advantage. Tall, physically fit dude, good-looking guy, got the full head of slick back hair, got the pearly white teeth, right? And he is very articulate. He's got a lot of charisma. He's got a lot of character. He's very well-spoken. Ron, kind of like you said, I thought he was going to be a little bit cringe. Like, dude, it's fine to smile and not show your teeth. You know, it's like the command photo, right? Like you got to smile. Like, dude, you can smile and not show your teeth if it's not natural, right? And so he started off that way. I'm like, oh man, I can't watch it. It pains me. It's awkward for me to watch. And I thought Ron was going to be fact-based, very focused on the data, but lack personality. I think the first 3 or 4 minutes, I think it was even the first question, because neither one of them answered the first question off the bat. He jumps right into it because they got their talking points. I got to get it out, right? And they just vomit all over the place. But, you know, 10 minutes, man, Ron settled in and overarching. So I will tell you that I thought Ron did a lot better than I expected. And halfway through, man, you could see where he was kind of free-flowing, a little freestyle, and a little bit of personality was coming out. He knew the talking points were on his side. He knew the data points were on his side. Like you said, he knew his info. And so when he was, you could tell when he was kind of free flowing, I thought he did very well. It's like, hey, man, where's this personality at? And granted, when you're on stage with eight other people, you don't get that opportunity, right? He had a solid 30 minutes when you piece it all together where that gets to come out. I was actually very disappointed in Gavin Newsom. And going back to your thing with San Francisco, I actually told my daughter before this, I was like, hey, if I'm Ron DeSantis, I'm bringing props, man. Like, I'm bringing pops. I'm bringing pictures of homeless camps in San Francisco, in Los Angeles, in Sacramento, in San Jose, right? You're doing all that. And he had very timely props. But with Gavin, I was actually very, very disappointed because, one, he was flustered. He let Ron get to him. And he wasn't able to, I think he had this strategy because he knew that the data didn't support what he was going to say. But he wasn't able to stick to that strategy. And it became, you know, ad hominem attacks. It became red herrings. It's like, well, I'm not going to talk about this data point. I'm actually just going to say how bad Ron DeSantis sucks and how great the Biden administration is doing. Right. And he started to deflect, and we'll start to go topic by topic here. But then I think he got to numbers where he literally was just making them up. Like, I was even trying to Google, I was talking like, I think my wife even asked, like, where is he getting these? I'm like, I think he actually just made that number up. Like, you Google it, it should come off the top, because you would think that his advisors and handlers would be pulling current stuff, 24 hours old, 48 hours old, 72 hours old. And I wasn't able to find a lot of that stuff. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, man, I was shocked at Gavin's performance. I thought he was going to be calm, cool, and collected. You know, he doesn't really have to defend his record because he's not running for president. Right. I mean, granted, that's what it was supposed to be, red state, blue state. But I think when you're Gavin Newsom in his position where the data doesn't support you, you have to go off trends and not the data. And he started to do that a little bit. I think it was towards the end. It was homelessness, which, okay, I got to say this. For the record, Gavin Newsom and Josh agree on the cause of homelessness in California. And he said it, he said, when they closed down the mental institutions, right? So the point being there, I forget the number, I've got it in my notes or whatever. They were saying that there was, 500,000 homeless people. I'm sorry, 172,000 homeless people in California. Okay. A lot of homeless folks. And in Florida, 26,000 per capita, 10,000 people. California's at 44. Florida's at 12. So to bring it in perspective, right? To kind of equalize it. So, and Gavin did a good job there where he was like, yeah, it's a lot, but it's been trending downward. And the cause of this was when we closed the mental institutions, yada, yada, yada. So that had to be Gavin's strategy from the beginning, is like, hey, yeah, I know we have high numbers. We also have the fifth largest economy in the world that he mentioned. We also have more people than 20 states combined, which he mentioned, but he failed to stick to that strategy on, yeah, I know the numbers look high, but they're a lot better now than they were before I took office. And part of that might be because they don't all support that narrative, right? I didn't go back into his history. I guess you can go back to when the Terminator was governor or whatever. So I haven't seen the trend, but you know, I don't know if he was prepared that Sean Hannity was going to post those numbers up there like that, because a lot of times you don't see that during debates. I'd like to think that he was prepared, but I don't know, man. In my opinion, it didn't seem like he was ready for the hard and fast numbers to actually be put on screen like that. So at the end of the day, you know, I thought Ron did very well, did better than I expected him to do. And I think Gavin did way worse than I expected him to.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. I was expecting more out of Gavin, honestly. I was expecting him to be slicker. You know, he used to date Kimberly Guilfoyle. They were live-in partners, you know. And yeah. I happen to know someone who knows Kimberly Guilfoyle, and apparently she's an absolute mess, and she's with Donald Trump Jr. now, so whatever. So nuts and bolts, right? The taxes thing kind of got me. I just really wish that politicians, and I put this on Ron DeSantis as much as Gavin Newsom, I wish they'd just be honest, right? We've talked about this ad nauseum. You know, Josh lives in North Carolina. You live in Arizona. I live in Texas, right? And a few of us make more money than the other. Inside joke, y'all. Inside joke. But what we've said over and over is, if there's no state income tax, the state is going to make that up in some other way. You know, in Texas, in Florida, there is no state income tax. Is there a state income tax in Arizona, Roger?
There is, but they just got rid of the military retirement tax.
Okay, well, you had to caveat that, which I completely understand. But if there's no state income tax, you're going to have to make that up in some other way. You're going to have to, you know, do your state income infrastructure, all that stuff. So maybe your property tax goes up if there is no state income tax. Maybe the sales tax goes up if there is no state income tax. So I wish that, you know, instead of splitting hairs like they were doing, well, you've got a regressive tax rate is what, you know, Newsom was saying about Florida. You tax the working man. It's like, can't somebody back up and say, whoa, 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 let's put this all in perspective. We have higher property taxes, that's true, than California. But every state's got to have income in some kind of way. Taxes are just as sure as death, right? But, Gavin Newsom, your taxes are completely out of line. You can say our taxes are regressive. You can say all that stuff, but the numbers do not lie. And I don't know. I just wish they'd talk like a normal person, you know, because all of us experience taxes every day. I just got a tax thing today about my property tax, how much I paid this past year. Unbelievable.
Well, even but the Florida, like, property tax was a hair higher than California.
Just a hair. Just a hair.
Everything else in California was higher. And to your point, Newsom defended that by saying our high tax rates tax corporations and millionaires, not the working man. Of course, Ron brings up gas and food. And here was a line. I love it. Classic. And he had about three or four of these. And this was natural. I mean, granted, he had it in his back pocket, but it was natural. Ron said, how many people leave Florida to go to California to pay less taxes?
Yeah.
Right? Dude, it was gold. It was a gold mine.
You know, in one area, and you know, I get it's 2028, and that's a long way away. 28 is a long way away, like in political terms. That's a long way away. But, you know, Newsom didn't do himself any favors tonight by completely bagging on the state of Florida. This stuff will come up again. You know, I think he did a fairly good job of blaming DeSantis for Florida's troubles. But where he went wrong was bringing up Texas. Dude, why you want to lump Texas in? Why, you know, I think he said Texas and Mississippi. It's like, Mississippi, I get it. They're never going to vote for you. But it's like Texas, I mean, it, like Josh said, Texas will be blue by 2028. I do not agree. It could be purple by then. That's not where it's trending right now. But why are you going to lump Texas in with Florida? Don't do that. If you're looking at 2028, don't mention it.
Because you could win counties in Texas that could affect down ballot candidates, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that could happen.
And it's like, dude, why you, because he mentioned Texas, I think, four times. And it's like, man, in not a positive light, you know. So I think whatever the taxes thing kind of got me, because it's like, man, I don't know how he tried, but like you said, Newsom, he tried to defend it, but man, he was just making stuff up out of thin air. Like the regressive taxes, it's like, man, how deep does the average person have to go to research whether Florida has a regressive tax rate or not? Probably pretty deep. He's just throwing out these numbers, hoping that no one's going to fact check it, even though he said, man, I hope PolitiFact gets a hold of this. It's like, bro, it's
well, not in all well fairness, they will jack it up. PolitiFact will be like, well, technically they speaking, will. You know,
so
technically he wasn't wrong. You know,
he talked about, you know, it's grab bag, but a couple I wrote down here were crime stats, abortion, and immigration. The abortion thing, I'm going to kick that to you because we were both screaming via text about that.
Dude, it kills me. It's so, so simple. It is 10th Amendment. 10th Amendment, 10th Amendment, 10th Amendment. And with recent elections, you've even had states, conservative states, fairly conservative states, that have overturned, you know, the restrictions on abortions, this and that. And if the GOP were smart, they would celebrate, you know, you don't have to necessarily celebrate, but you have to say, see, this is the rule of law. So basically what you're saying is the overturning of Roe v. Wade actually helped your cause because you had more restrictions before the federal government said, hey, or before the SCOTUS said, hey, federal government, get out of this. It's to the states. And now your state and you as a voter have chosen to, you know, either ease the restrictions or enable more restrictions or whatever. It's such an easy win because, and you brought this up on episodes before, just on the idea of abortions, it's in itself, the conservatives are on the moral right, okay, just based on morality, okay? And now with the overturning of Roe v. Wade, man, take the 10th Amendment approach, right? Just take the 10th Amendment approach. And those who live in conservative states that are going to have, you know, fairly restrictive abortion laws like Florida, hey, they'll celebrate it. And they'll be like, I don't care. I don't live in California. And those who live in California who want just abortions up to birth, you know, they can celebrate it in accordance with the 10th Amendment, right? What's crazy about it, and I took some notes on it, is, you know, Sean asked Gavin what his limits were on abortion. And this is the problem with the Democrats across the board, because even here where we have Katie Hobbs and they talk about, you know, abortion and yada, 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 we're like, okay, what's your limit? Like, tell me what your limit is. Hey, with Ron DeSantis, whether you like him, love him, hate him, whatever the case is, and most conservatives, 15 weeks. Or, you know, I think his went down from 15 weeks to 6 weeks. At least it's a number, okay? And we can debate that number and you can argue that number. The Dems won't give an answer to any of that because the number is there are no restrictions, period. And that's basically what Gavin Newsom came out. He's like, well, if the doctor and the mother say that it's needed, then it's needed. And here's the difference between, you know, getting rid of the number and everything else. Here's what it comes down to. Generally speaking, conservatives value the life and put the focus on the baby. Democrats and the left put the focus and value the life of the mother. And I shouldn't even say life of the mother, because when you talk about ectopic, you know, pregnancies and this and that, those aren't considered abortions, right? But they put the focus on the mom and not the baby, not the infant. That's what it comes down to, period. And they won't ever get into that debate to give you a hard and fast number. And I think that's why they're going to, especially with the SCOTUS ruling, they're going to end up losing that that fight as it continues to go down. And then Ron threw out some, you know, pretty good numbers. You know, 88% of abortions after 15 weeks are elective. And then, you know, I think the one thing that he did get hemmed up on, Gavin asked Ron DeSantis if he would support a national abortion ban. This is when me and you started texting feverishly, and Ron didn't answer. And that's the time to say, but you know what? SCOTUS has ruled that's in accordance with the 10th Amendment that goes down to the states, and that's where it's at. Right. I mean, it's maybe we need to email like the GOP and like, dude, this is like really an easy answer.
They're still pandering to the evangelicals. That's all there is to it. And it's like, you know, if Dylan still listens, I don't think he does. I wouldn't call him an evangelical, but he's a serious Christian. I am too. But at the same time, it's baby steps, right? It's baby steps. And we live in a real world. We live in reality. And it's like any step we can get toward, you know, the valuing life and getting it through people's heads and having a, you know, a cultural adjustment is better. Because, I, you know, whatever. It's hard. We live in a real world. And it's like, I don't know, 10th Amendment, I get it. There's going to be states out there, abortion right up until the point of birth, and I do not agree with that, you know, whatever. But it is what it is. We live in a real world with, you know, render under Caesar what is Caesar's. You know, it's just, it's not perfect. And, you know, a lot of people want to say, you know, we're getting really far afield. But years ago, I had a disagreement with my dad, and I was completely in the wrong. When I was like, this country is blessed. It's under God. We are a Christian nation. He's like, no, we're not. This is a secular government with some Christian values that have been passed down over the years. This is a secular, you know, it is what it is. We're not particularly blessed. It's not that. So you can wish that you lived in a theocracy, but that's not the constitutional republic we live in, brother. So 10th Amendment for now. And I just wish he would have said that, you know, but again, pandering to the evangelicals who give a lot of money. I understand. It's like, don't touch it. Don't touch it. You know, when you get into office, you can, you know, dance all around an abortion ban and all that stuff. When you get into office, that's not going to be the deal, but you're going to promise all these people, all these things. It's just, that's what I don't like, the politics of it. But yeah, I, you know, I don't know. I think it was overall good. I kind of stepped out for a second. I was checking on the dogs, but I don't remember Gavin answering anything substantive about immigration at all.
No, he did
some nonsense words.
He, matter of fact, you know, basically he said, well, Biden's had, you know, from day one, he's had these plans and these policies, and Ron, you just wouldn't support him, and you wouldn't support him when you were in Congress, and you don't support him now as a governor. And what Gavin Newsom fails to mention is that, hey, you had Democratic control for the first 2 years, right? So, you know, and again, we've talked about this several times ad nauseum that, you know, it's cyclic. Historically speaking, you'll get where you have a Republican president come in, and then generally speaking, you'll have a year, maybe 2 years, where they have complete control over Congress, both houses of Congress, the Senate and the House. And the Democrats are the same. You know, the fact is immigration has been broke for several presidencies where both parties have had complete control. What I will do is this, okay, because I want to, you know, not everybody stayed up and watched all this stuff. So I'll run down the list, give some highlights. Stop me if there's something that you want to comment on, or I'll take a break after every couple and hit you up for your opinion. So we talked about the opening, you know, right at the beginning, Gavin was having to defend Biden's policies right there. He started the bootlicking, kind of came out there. Ah, Biden's great. Everything's great. The very first topic brought up was blue state net migration loss to red states. So specifically California lost 750,000, Florida gained 400,000. He couldn't defend the migration. And then he was like, this is the first time where he starts throwing out. He's like, well, if you look over the last two years, you know, we've increased. And so I'm like, okay, I got to start fact checking this. So I Googled, and there was an article from like 2 days ago. It was left leaning. I don't even know. I think it was like LA Times or whatever. Like, I couldn't even comprehend their math. They're like, well, no, people are still leaving the state, but it's different because in California, people are moving from within the state to somewhere else within the state. Like, okay, that's great. That might be the case. There might be more people moving, you know, intrastate. But we're talking about people leaving the state. And statistically speaking, fact, right? You call it what it is. You've lost 750,000 people since he's been governor. And Florida gained 400,000. Ron got into it a little bit later, but wasn't very articulate in his very first part where talks about the freedoms. Like, hey, it's the freedoms of the red states. And I think this is what you were talking about with this nervousness, right? He kind of came out, he had some talking points, and it's very easy, man. It was the freedom, right? He could have gone down that path. He didn't really bring that up. And so neither one of them really answered that question. Highlight being, Ron was saying, yes, I ran into this family and I asked them why they're moving. Why you moved to Florida from California, da, 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 da. And he's like, you know who it was? It was your in-laws. Okay. That was great. And Gavin didn't even, again, Ron had three or four of those that were, they were canned, but came out very natural. Timing's everything, right? And I think when he was able to throw that out there at that specific time, it came out very natural. It was very pointed. It was a straight dig. And Gavin, he didn't even have a response to it. So at the end of the day, Gavin didn't even have a response to any of the net migration loss and why blue states are losing folks. Talked about the taxes. Again, the numbers came up. Everything in Florida was cheaper tax-wise, except for the property tax, which was a smidgen. And again, he didn't really defend that. And you know, I think like you were saying earlier, it's like you can defend higher taxes by looking at your state infrastructure. You know, if you've got the, well, again, this is where the narrative doesn't support it, right? Or the stats don't support it. Hey, you know what? We do have a higher tax rate in California. You know why? Because our voters vote in higher tax rate because they want more money going to education because they're spending $16,000 per student versus $12,000 per student. The performance isn't where you want it, but you don't have to bring that part up, right? That, hey, our voters want certain amenities and certain resources provided by the state, and this is how we pay for it. They voted it in. And so it's an easy way to deflect that stuff. Talked about Bidenomics, and this is what I did, and I'll take a break after this. So Gavin went to straight gaslighting how, you know, inflation's down. I think I tweeted this earlier. So inflation rate decreasing or declining does not mean that you are paying less. Okay. It is the rate of increase is smaller. You're still paying more. So he goes straight to gaslighting, you know, the Inflation Reduction Act, which didn't reduce inflation. And here is what Ron did over and over with this. He did it probably about four or five times. And I thought it was genius. He brought it back to practical examples that take away the regressive tax structure and this and that. He brought it back to your wallet. He brought it back and said, hey, what are you paying for food? What are you paying for fuel? What are your credit card interest rates? can you buy a house? Right. And that's something that, hey, I may not know what a regressive tax structure is, but I know what I paid for gas. We were just texting that earlier. You know, I know what I paid for gas this morning. I know what I'm going to pay at the grocery store tomorrow. I know what I paid for Thanksgiving to put my dinner together. You know, so I thought Ron did a very, very good job as Slick Boy there was trying to, you know, weasel his way in and out. It's like, hey, man, I'm just going to throw it out there with the wallet. And the GOP should learn from that. They should take a lesson and say, hey, we need to get rid of all the fancy talk and, you know, taxes. Hey, man, what'd you pay for gas this morning? And just leave it at that, right?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the economy question was interesting because I've been looking into a lot of stuff. I mean, the Dow had a really good day today when we recorded, or when we're recording, which is on the last day of November. Dow had a really good day, and GDP went up last month. Inflation numbers still basically the same. You know, year over year, is prices are still going up. So one of the reasons the GDP is going up, and it's like, dude, do you not have this in your back pocket? Like, the reason GDP is going up is because why are you going to put money in savings? Why are you going to hold on to money when it's going to be worth less next month? If you're a major, and I'm not talking about just the consumer, man. Consumer is stupid. Let me go out and buy a new pair of Nikes because my money's going to be worth less next month. I'm talking about like major, you know, like take a contractor, for instance. Let me go invest this money in lumber right now, because eventually this is, or lumber, materials, whatever, eventually this is going to turn around, but let me buy it now. Let me buy it now because my dollar is going to be worth less next month. I won't be able to buy as much lumber, concrete, whatever. So I, you know, talking about the GDP numbers going up, it's like Ron could have thrown a quick one in there. I don't know. Maybe we're asking too much of these guys. I don't know. But I thought the homeless numbers, Roger, that one was crazy. That the homeless numbers, dude, you can't argue with that. It is nuts. And that's what kind of led into the poop map that Ron showed, which I thought was great. It was a little over the top, but it was great. And yeah, the homeless numbers were absolutely insane. But at the same time, it's like, can't you, like Gavin Newsom, these people are so out of touch with the average person. Like me and you and Josh and all of our listeners, we all know who Florida Man is. We all know who Florida Man is. Can't you just like drop in a reference to Florida Man? It's like, Ron, it's not California Man, it's Florida Man. There's crazy stuff going on in your state. I mean, you could come up with a way to say it to relate to people who are actually listening. We're like, oh, that's a good one. Good one. Good one, Gavin. Yeah, you got it. It's Florida Man. It's not California Man. It's like, come on. But those homeless numbers, Roger, damn. I mean, that was brutal.
Well, a lot of them.
It wasn't even close.
And that's jumping ahead. I mean, looking at, so next they covered the unemployment rate. Florida, 2.8. California, 4.8. Second worst in the United States, right? Gavin couldn't even defend that. He said, well, look at Disney. Ron, you went to war with Disney. And then Ron comes back and he says, we had Disney open during COVID and they made a fortune while you shut them down for a year. And then they just quickly moved from that.
Yeah, talk about that COVID stuff a little bit. Real quick. We got a few minutes.
Yeah, because... we got time. So right after the unemployment rate, they'd go into COVID. And so California, here's what's interesting, okay? California and Florida, which you could reasonably argue had, were on the opposite ends of the spectrum, okay, as far as, you know, restrictive measures, lockdowns. I mean, they were night and day, okay? Obviously, California being the most restrictive and Florida probably being the most open. The state death rates from the CDC, and this is where Gavin's like, no, nah, and Sean's like, this is actually from the CDC, dude. They're almost the same. Florida, 252. California, 248. And then Gavin just says, well, that's not true. It's like, no, dude, the data actually says that. And Gavin says, no, you were a Fauci believer at the beginning and you locked stuff down and then you opened it back up and you didn't believe him. And tens and thousands of lives are lost in Florida, right? Again, going to an emotional appeal, not looking at the actual data. So here's what you say. Well, did it hurt the folks with the, you know, having the more restrictive measures? Or here's what you asked. Did it hurt them? It didn't hurt them. Here's what you did, though. You took their freedoms away. Okay, so then you have to, that's what you look at. You don't look at, well, it didn't hurt you that you were locked down, Luke. It didn't hurt you that you had to wear a mask. No, what hurt were my constitutional rights that you took away. Okay, what hurt was you telling me where I could go, when I could go, who I could see, how long I could stay there, how I got there, what I had to wear, when I had to come back, right? That's what hurt.
Their dignity.
All for the same number.
Yeah.
All for the same number, right?
You know, the stuff with COVID, and I don't think we're going to get blocked for this anymore, but maybe soon, because there's some shit bubbling up in China right now. That's already, Denmark is already starting to lock down. There's already news articles coming out about this strange pneumonia coming out of China. And wouldn't you know, it's December, right? My kids, you know, my kids came to visit in 2019 to Slovenia, and we were watching this stuff. And when they locked down Wuhan, everybody knows Wuhan now. Everybody knows that, a city of 7 million people or more. I was seeing this on the news because that European news, you know, they actually cover, believe it or not, Europe is better with news in some areas than we are. They were covering the fact that China had locked down this many people. And I was telling my kids, and I'm going somewhere with this. I was telling my kids, I was like, this is big. This may affect your life more than anything else ever that you've lived through. And it may affect your life more than anything you will ever live through. And sure enough, look what happened. And that was in December of 2019. Here we are in December of 2023, and there's this mysterious pneumonia thing coming out of China. Now back to the COVID thing, where it's like, you know, they're arguing about the deaths and everything. What is Florida known as? Florida is known as, well known as God's waiting room. It's well known. I mean, the average age in Florida, the median age in Florida is way higher than almost any other state. Why didn't Ron DeSantis come with that? It's like the median age in Florida, because you cannot do that. You don't have time to explain these things, because it was widely accepted, you know, when the numbers started coming out, that the reason Northern Italy, and we were living right next to Northern Italy, and this is why it was so unnerving when we lived there, is how many people were dying in Northern Italy. It was kind of scary, man. It was scary back then. It's because the median age in Northern Italy is higher than anywhere else in the world. There's a lot of seniors there. COVID attacked senior people. It just did. Florida is God's waiting room. That's why our numbers are higher. Gavin dumb Newsom. It's like, you can try to, you know, twist these numbers any way you want. But it is what it is. It's like, I just wish there was time to level with the people. But it's like, you know, but the people don't want to hear that. The people want to be scared. I don't know. Roger, you already said it. You don't think, I don't want to change the subject or anything. We're talking about the debate, but let's call it right now with Josh not here. This whole hysteria right now that's going on with this mysterious pneumonia, you think this is going to amount to anything or not?
No, I don't think it will. I mean, you know, I think there's people are tired of it, right? One, they're desensitized and they're tired of it. But there are still a handful of believers, and you know what? Hey, man, every vote counts and every influence vote counts. And you go to the casinos, you go to the airports. Every time I go back east, there's still a small percentage that are still wearing the mask, still trying to social distance. You know, and for whatever reason, right? I'm not getting into it. That's on them or whatever, but there is a significant number. And when you go back, and this is my point with all of this stuff, is that when you go back and you look at places like Arizona and Georgia and Pennsylvania and Nevada, where, hey man, some of these places, like, it was 12,000 votes. That was the difference. Dude, our AG here, the difference statewide was like 212 votes. I'm pretty sure I could go out and convince 212 people to vote one way or another. Hell, maybe we already have, because that's 200 more listeners than we have, but we probably convinced 12 people to vote one way or another, right? But I think they'll be tired. I think they're already tired of it. We did talk about, you know, sorry, go ahead.
Let me ask you, go ahead. I mean, if you had an important point to make, I was going to ask you something. Okay, so let me ask you this. It's because it sounded like you were going to say something important.
I was going to go down the rest of the topics, but you're good, man.
Go ahead. Do that.
All right. We talked about immigration. Here was a surprising number that they didn't really address. But, you know, you brought up a very good, valid point where Florida being God's waiting room. One, you just can't say that. And two, you just can't get that detailed and that specific about some of this stuff, right? You've got a couple seconds. You got to throw out your bullet points. And this is kind of what happened with immigration, where over 50,000 encounters at the border are from countries like China, Russia, Syria, Afghanistan. Gavin Newsom kept going back to the plan that Biden has. You know, Ron didn't really attack Gavin too much about this. What he did say was Joe Biden created this problem. What they haven't worked out is how did Joe Biden create this problem? And we've covered it in previous episodes where it's not just securing the border, right? It's the agreements they had with Guatemala. It's the agreements they had with Honduras. It's the agreements they had with Mexico. That, hey, by the way, if you don't stop your people, every person that shows up here that's from Guatemala, I'm taking a dollar out of the aid that goes to your country. That's what Trump did. And day one, the executive order that Biden signed, he got rid of all that stuff. Okay, and that's fine. You get rid of it. He never replaced it with anything else. So now you got where it's okay. These countries are like, we can't afford you, so get out of here. Go somewhere else. And then they all come to the border. Ron never did attack him on that. And I think the GOP as a whole, outside of your commentators and your pundits, they haven't found a succinct way to educate the folks on why we have the border crisis and be able to do that like in a 30-second soundbite, right? That's the struggle there. Then they get into, this was a good one. And man, at this point, Gavin is, I think this is where you first text him that, like, where is he getting those numbers? I'm like, I think he's making these up. So we get into the crime rate. And here's what's nuts, man. So they bring up the FBI violent crime rate in California was 499. Florida is 258. The entire United States is 380. And then, of course, now Gavin can't defend any of that, right? Because Florida or California is way up there. So he goes and talks about school shootings, you know, Parkland, gun laws, this and that. And that kind of goes into the gun control topic. California having the most restrictive, Florida being number 19. Since 2019, California has had over twice the amount of mass shootings as Florida has. Right? So it's like none of these numbers are making sense. Now, in all fairness to that, California has a greater population. So they didn't do a per capita. They just did a straight numbers. Obviously, you're going to have more shootings in California than you are in Florida because you've got more people in California. But point being, when you balance that out with the gun laws, and this is kind of where Gavin, if you are a moderate, this is where he kind of gets off hinged. And this is where I think he hurts his 2028 because he talks about, you know, Gavin or Ron DeSantis made it easier for felons to get guns. And Ron's like, felons can't own weapons here, you know, and well, because you don't do background checks. No, actually, you have to do background checks, right? It's those type of statements, and we've heard like the McCaskills and these people in the past. It wasn't McCaskill, I forget what's her face, but you know, the 30 round clips they just throw away and they go get them. It's like no, it actually doesn't work that way, right? They're not even educated on the topic. They're not even educated, and when you hear something like that, you can't even have a debate with him, right? Like, dude, I cannot educate you enough in this 90-minute debate that we can even have a smart discussion and even like agree to disagree on some of your points because you just don't know enough about the topic. You're just completely ignorant about it. So he gets in there, and I think at that point is where I typed up my notes. Gavin's motivation just became clear to damage the reputation of RDS, not just in 2024, but also in 2028, looking ahead at that 2028 election. So I'll take a break there and kick it back to you for your thoughts.
So I agree with you there. I think this was it's good practice for him, right? It's good practice because it's very likely he might be on the stage with him or Nikki Haley because now there's rumblings that, oh, Trump should pick Nikki as his vice president, which I have feelings about that. And we can
do a whole episode on that.
Yeah. Dude. Oof, man, we had some deep, kind of halfway deep discussions, and like maybe like 4 feet deep in the swimming pool last night or the night before about Nikki Haley. But anyway, he knows that was good practice for him, and I thought it was kind of a sign of weakness, really, in my opinion. him bringing up Trump and Haley. I mean, I know that resounded with the left, maybe, you know, Trump is beating you by this much in your own state. And I know that kind of threw DeSantis a little bit, but it's good practice. It's good practice for Newsom. But let me ask you this, Roger. So let's be honest, you know, cause Newsom is right. He's probably right. Trump is going to be the nominee. Biden, it looks right now, unless there's some kind of black swan event, that Biden will be the nominee. So who benefited more or less? Like, who wins tonight, Biden or Trump?
I think it should have been Gavin, right? I think the plan was, like we said at the beginning, Gavin was supposed to be prepping for 2028 and then touting the administration and everything they've done in the last 2+ years. But I think, if anything, I think Ron gained some support. I think Gavin hurt himself, and people are like, maybe this guy isn't as, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of, like, you know, the rebuttal to the State of the Union. And it reminds me like Mark Rubio with Watergate or Bottlegate or whatever. You know, like, you have such high expectations and there's so much pressure, and it doesn't matter who it is, whether it's Democrat or Republican, they go out there and they flub it. Who was it? One of the Kennedys that did it, you know, a couple years ago during Trump's administration, and he had like chapstick or whatever all over his lips. And it's like you're set up, and like all of a sudden it's like, hey man, you're in the limelight. Let's see how this guy's going to do for 30 minutes. And Democrats saw Gavin Newsom. They're like, wow, this is kind of, you're a little rough, brother. And I think what Ron did, and that's because of Ron DeSantis, because at the end of the day, as we're saying here, when he goes down these numbers, he does a good job of beating up Joe Biden. And he does a good job beating him up with his numbers. He puts Gavin Newsom in a corner and says that you have to support him. And so what I think that Joe and Gavin thought were, hey, man, I'm going to come up there. I'm a popular governor from California, which, by the way, is already going to vote blue, so nobody cares. But I'm going to tout your administration. I'm going to give you a little bit of a bump in the polls. And then I'm going to show show people how great I am. And I'm going to be the 2028 guy. And instead, I think the presidency looked worse because Ron was very practical, gave some very practical examples, and asked some very pointed questions, you know, especially about, you know, the cognitive decline of Joe Biden. He didn't say hi, but he came just short of saying, if you think Joe Biden is operating at 100% right now, you're high. Okay. And everybody knew that. It's just like you said, everybody's like, nah, dude's got a point there. Yeah. There's no way Joe Biden is operating at 100%. So I think at the end of the day, Ron DeSantis is the one who won. I mean, he's the one who got the airtime. He was the one who got the practice. He got to look a little presidential, and you got to see a little bit of insight into his thought process.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's much ado about nothing. I don't think Trump benefited much from tonight.
I don't think so either.
I don't, you know, and Biden, hey, at the end of the day, maybe Biden did benefit more from tonight than Trump, because he the bootlicking sycophant was up there. And a lot of people tuned into that. A lot of people who normally don't turn to Fox probably tuned into that. It's like,
man, but would he have convinced independent voters?
No.
And that goes back to my point. California is already blue, right? Does he convince, well, maybe the people in Pennsylvania, because you guys elected a potato to the Senate, but does he convince the people in Arizona, Nevada, Georgia, West Virginia, does he convince those folks to vote blue?
No. And that's why it's a good move on his part, because he doesn't care. I like the way Hannity put him on the spot, you know, as we're wrapping up. I like the way Hannity put him on the spot about, will you do the LBJ thing where I will not, you know, and he really, I think Gavin handled it pretty well, but it's like he never said absolutely not. He's like, no, Joe Biden's the man. He's the man. He's the man. And that's where, you know, what you were saying, it's like Ron DeSantis, really? Is he really the man? You really believe that? Come on. So, yeah, I think it was interesting, and I liked it. Like I said at the very beginning, I liked it. Mm-hmm. I like this kind of stuff, man. It mixes things up. It makes us think a little bit more, state versus state. It's like, which one's better? I don't know, you know? Because I know, you know, Kurt Schlichter, who we had on, that Josh couldn't pronounce his name right. We had him on very early on, and he was a real champ for coming on. Really appreciate it. We're going to have to tag him in this one. It's like, Kurt, you got to listen to the very end for us to call you out. But he came on, and he lives in California. This guy's a diehard conservative, man, diehard. And he right now, he's a DeSantis fan right now. He's like us. He'll vote for Trump if he gets the nomination. But he's on the DeSantis bandwagon. He lives in California. And we asked him on the podcast, we said, Kurt, why do you still live there? He's like, because I'm not a quitter. And I know there are people in California like him, you know, people who live out, you know, east of Sacramento and up way, way up north in California. You know, they got to watch this stuff and be like, man, we don't like this guy either. So it's like, you know, it's there are people in California. Not all people in California are liberals. That's not the way it is. But yeah, I think it's interesting. Yeah. So I'll kick it back to you.
So, and I'll close out with these last few topics here. So they talk about parental rights and education. I will tell you this, folks, if you didn't like listen to any of the debate, you need to pull that up because you're really starting to see the difference. And this is where Ron does a great job. He brings, you know, one of his props, and it's genderqueer. Like, this is what you want taught in schools. You know, Gavin Newsom tries to go in the book banning thing. And this is where Sean Hannity does give Ron a little prop. He's like, so is the book banning thing in Florida, is that a state thing or a local thing? And Ron's like, it's a local thing, dude. You know, it's a local thing. Gavin throws some books out there that he says are banned, and Ron's like, no, they're not.
Wait. At the end of the wait. That was where he got all screwed up on his numbers. How many books were banned? Because he said, I think his initial number. Go back and listen to it. His initial number was like, there's 1,465. Right. It's like, dude, if you're going to come out with an exact, don't ever come out with an exact number. Especially if you can't remember. Just say over 1,400 and stick with that.
Or almost 2,000. That's how I
do it. Or something. And he gave out, I texted you. I was like, bro, he just gave out.
He made it up.
Three different numbers within 2 minutes. It was crazy.
He's like, I'm making it up anyway.
Yeah.
So they talk about the education rank. Florida education rank number one, spends $12,000 a year per student. And, California, rank number 20, spends $16,000 per student. So again, you're paying higher taxes. You can say you're arguing you're spending more money for the kids, but your performance isn't where it needs to be. And then this is just where, you know, Gavin just goes anecdotal. Your kids aren't doing well, and they didn't do well in the fourth grade reading. And this, I'm just like, dude, the data is right here. Like, statistically, this is, you're literally just making stuff up. We get to abortion. We talked about that already. You know, now we get to some more bootlicking. We're drawing the lines here. So grade the Joe Biden presidency. And of course, you know, they say his presidency, his policies, and then talking about cognitive decline, and Gavin gives him A's across the board. RDS is like fail. And then he does a great job. So then, you know, Gavin goes on and he tries to crush Ron for mispronouncing Kamala. You know, he said, it's not Kamala, it's Kamala, and you should be calling her Madam, you know, Vice President. But then Ron comes back and again gives practical examples, talks about interest rates, buying a house, buying a car. So it's like, hey, you got all the arguing rhetoric, but people are like, yeah, because you know what? There's families out there that are like, hey, I was going to buy a house today. I was going to buy a house this year. And I can't because interest rates were at 3%. Now they're 8.5%. Now they're at 9%. You know, my boy and my daughter, who both, you know, my daughter graduates PA school in March. My son graduates college in May, you know, where they should be looking at buying their first home, getting their job, you know, first paying job. It's like, yeah, I actually can't afford to buy. That's the stuff that resonates with people. It's what's going to resonate with people. It should resonate with them at the polls. Talks about gas, cheaper in Florida than California by about $1.50. Gavin goes into big oil. And again, you know, this is where Ron, he's got a zinger here, man. He's like, because he talks about price gouging, oil companies price gouging in California. And Ron's like, so do the big oil companies only price gouge in California because we're like $1.50 less than you, right? The one piece that Gavin had that Ron has not come back with an answer on, and he should have, because Nikki Haley's been kicking him in the junk every time she gets over this, is his anti-fracking, you know, regulations or laws or whatever he signed in. You know, he has signed them in down there in Florida. I understand the whole Everglades thing and this and that, but there's a lot more to it. He and his campaign have not come up with a good, again, succinct answer on this is why I signed that, you know, this is why I wouldn't do it nationwide or whatever the case is. We talked about the homeless thing, California, 172,000, Florida, 26,000. And then I'll round it out here. He closes out with the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. They both pretty much take the same side. I was actually surprised. Gavin comes out like, hey, Hamas is a terrorist organization and needs to be eliminated. And then he kind of goes against Ron. Ron comes back. He echoes, yep, Hamas needs to be done with, and says that Biden shouldn't handicap Israel. And then they get into China. And again, both of them kind of take the same role, but Gavin goes after Ron. You know, there's a reason why even Trump calls you Red Ron or whatever the hell it is, right? Saying that he's a Chinese supporter. And then at the end, it's kind of funny. They ask the final question. He asked the final question that says, Ron, what's your favorite thing about California? He talks about its natural advantages, time at Coronado, beautiful state. And then when he asks Gavin what he loves about Florida, he deflects the whole red herring technique. No doubt, you know, Ron loves his country, appreciates his wife, kids, military services, but we just have a difference in the way the country's run, you know, something to that effect. So what's funny is Ron, I thought, did a very good job. And Gavin was trying to goad him into it. Ron did a good job by not taking the bait and pooping on every California out there. Not that California is going to vote red, but as we've seen, there's a mass exodus from California, right? So these voters are making it out to other places. So you don't want to poop on them. However, Gavin fell into his own trap and did exactly like, you know, you said he did, where, okay, now he's pooping on Florida. Florida, you could gain, well, I mean, before Ron got there, there arguably you could gain some districts out there, right? Especially down ballot. You're going to lose some folks in Mississippi. Well, you've never had Mississippi. Texas, another one you can gain some districts in. It's like you just sat there and you pooped on, you know, two of the five biggest states in the country, which is exactly what you were trying to get Ron DeSantis to do. You wanted him to do his deplorable moment or have his deplorable moment, right? You just alienated 18 million voters or whatever. So that's all I have from my end. That kind of encapsulates, you know, the 90 minutes into, well, you know, it's funny. We were going to do a quick show, like 30 minutes. Our show is going to be just as long as the 90-minute debate. So you could just go listen to the 90-minute debate and get the same stuff.
Well, you know, I mean, we could always keep going for 30 minutes and, you know, show up both those guys, DeSantis and Newsom. So I think the big takeaway from tonight is that Roger definitely takes better notes during the debate than I do. So, you know, I don't know. I think Josh is a little tired. He's been doing a little traveling this week. He couldn't make it tonight. But Josh is not very excited about the whole 2024 thing. But I you know, I don't know. I don't think this was. I think this had a little bit to do with 2024. But I don't know. I think this existed outside. I'd like to see more of this. That's all. That's yes. All I'd say. I'd like to see more of this kind of thing. You know, let's get Kristi Noem. And Kathy Hochul or whatever. Let's get them up there. You know, let's have them go at it, man. You know, have a little state pride or whatever.
And I like that Hannity didn't have any constraints, right? It wasn't like I'm answering these, you know, I'm asking these. Like he could ask whatever he wanted to. He followed up. For him not being a moderator, and again, he's a professional, been doing this 30 years, whatever. But for him not being like a moderator and technically like a news guy, I thought he did very well, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I like I said at the beginning, I thought he did well. You know the shout outs? I don't know.
I do have two shout outs real quick before I kick it back to you.
You go ahead.
First I want to give a shout out to Joe. Guy's a religious listener. He texts me all the time. You know, it's kind of funny because you've got folks that have been with us since the beginning and you know, you get those things like, man, I was just listening to this and da da da. I was like, holy shit, man. Like, I didn't even know you still listened, you know? So big shout out to him and his family, diehard listener. I want to give a reverse shout out to Damon, because, you know, he always cause we're WWE guys, man, you know, and I expect our listeners to kind of take care of us if we're, you know, we're missing something. It's like, hey dude, you know, there's a New York strip, you know, on sale down at the Costco. You need to go down there. It's $2 a pound or whatever. And every month, you know, he asked me if I'm watching the WWE pay-per-view and I'm like, nah, man, I'm not going to watch it. And it's because, you know, back in the day, and this just shows how old I am, you know, pay-per-views were like $59, $60. And I'm just like, you know, I've already pooped over a lot of WWE lately over the last, you know, several months or a couple years of doing this podcast and how the product is declining and just the industry as a whole, as far as the product they're putting out there. And so I'm like, there's no way I'm going to spend my $60 on that crap. And then when he's like, they just had War Games, Survivor Series. And he's like, you watching this? I'm like, no, same excuse. And I never told him this morning, but the money. But anyway, I get on there and I'm on Peacock TV looking at something for my wife. I'm like, there's Survivor Series on here. And I'm just like, dude, I get all these for free. Well, not for free. It's a subscription I'm already paying for. So I get on there and I start texting him like, WTF, man. Like, you didn't tell me this shit, you know, came from. He's like, oh, I thought you knew. I was like, dude, you're supposed to like educate. Like I, Damon, if it was me, if roles were reversed, I'd be like, Damon, you have Peacock TV? You've been like, well, I sure do have Peacock TV. I'd be like, well, hey, man, you know, like these WWE events are on there for free. You don't have to pay the $59.99 that you used to pay for that stuff. So for our listeners, and I'm just giving you our time, Damon, it is kind of nice to, you know, there aren't a whole lot of wrestling fans out there that I converse with on a, you know, weekly basis. So I do appreciate his text. But for those out there that have Peacock TV and are into WWE, which I know, Luke, your dad is not, because he says that he actually tunes us out when we start talking about that. But you do get all the pay-per-views for free with that. So anyway, big shout out to Damon. Thanks for listening. Big shout out to Joe. Thanks for listening, and definitely appreciate the interaction.
Well, that's a big thing that Peacock did. That's a big thing to Peacock did by, you know, taking
dude,
up
it's
that,
huge.
That paper.
Like,
yeah, that's big.
The money that you used to pay for it, that's why I'm like, there's no way. Like, I pay $11 for Peacock, I think, or $11.99 or whatever. I'm like, there's no way they're giving away, but apparently they are. So, you know, yeah.
Well, we haven't lost Ted yet because wrestling, professional wrestling is not a sport. So Ted has said every time we start talking about sports, he tunes out. It's like, okay, you know, I'm tuning out at this point. So Ted's still with us. So Ted, there's your shout out, man. Thanks for listening. And I always love Ted's takes on these things because he's got a very unique take. So appreciate it. Darren, I'm really sorry. Work took over the other day. I could not go have happy hour with you. And he ragged my butt about that. And I'm sorry because Darren made the 2-hour trip to Lubbock and we
couldn't have happy hour.
That's right. I got a job. And Darren is a big time, you know, president or co-president or vice president or whatever he is of a bank. So Darren, whatever. Dude, just go, you know, burn some money and be happy with it. So Rodney, I appreciate y'all. And Jed, I hardly ever give Jed a shout out. I know I give hardly any of y'all shout outs. And Eric, you know, Eric, I want to be transparent and frank with you. If Trump gets the nomination, we will vote for him. But if Nikki Haley is his vice president, I will think twice about it because I think that reflects bad judgment. So anyway, y'all, I appreciate y'all listening. Sorry Josh wasn't with us tonight, but Roger and I made a go of it. And until next time, keep your canteen cups full and tightly secured.